Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, welcome in Over Under 98.5. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. This is our inaugural podcast right here.
Yeah, the opening one.
On 98.5thesportshub.com. We got a lot to get into today. Of course, we'll get into the World Cup. A great day today. Also, NHL free agency, NBA free agency, and how that matters towards the odds. It is July 4th week, so there are some stuff out there. NBA odds, as we mentioned, NHL odds. And there's a hot dog eating contest, which some people love to wager a little bit on. So we'll certainly have the odds on that. Big UFC fight this weekend. And we will go to the window. We will take your questions and cash them out at the window towards the end of the show here. But first and foremost, Dan, I'm glad we had the chance to do a podcast. For a while, I know me and you here at the station, we're like the only guys who talk gambling.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're the biggest guys who talk gambling, at least. I mean, I think everyone kind of talks about, you know, here and there, here and that. But, you know, I mean, we're the guys who really know what's going on. We understand the odds. We appreciate, you know, kind of everything that's going on. I think we're the ones who lay the most on the line, if you could say. Probably the ones who have the better idea of kind of everything that's going on, at least in the world of gambling. So we're going to be here. We're going to be helping you guys out as we, you know, we go along trying to help you guys build a bankroll, do whatever it is you got to do. If you're an introductory better, you know, we're definitely going to be able to help you learn how to bet, where to bet, the terms of betting, everything else is kind of under the sun in regards to, you know, what you kind of need to do. We're going to kind of go over a whole bunch of stuff the first couple episodes, you know, making sure you guys know all the terms. But, I mean, really, this podcast is for everyone. It's not going to be for just a specific sect of the betting population, and that's kind of the thing that, I guess, separates it from other podcasts, Joe.
Yeah, and the one thing that we got to this week, we announced we were doing a podcast, a lot of support from some people. The haters are out there as well, and I'm fine with that. Like, if you want to fade us, that's fine. If we give you a suggestion, hey, we like France to win the World Cup, and you don't like it, fade us. It's gambling. To me, Dan, it's not about winning or losing. It's about making dollars. That's what it is to me in the end. And as you mentioned, we'll do a 101, you know, a gambling 101 podcast at some point, but I'm glad we were able to do this. I'm sure some people want to know about the regulations in Massachusetts. We already know New Jersey, Delaware, states like that. They've already been legalized betting. I'm sure at some point here in Massachusetts it will happen. But a lot of people use locals. A lot of people go to Vegas. A lot of people bet online. We just wanted to do it here at the station. So people who want to start out with the bankroll, for those people who are already sharps or think they are sharps, fade us, follow us, whatever you want to do, but we're going to have some fun with it. We're going to do it every single week. We're starting July 4th week, so I think we should get right into it. And the one thing I do want to mention is follow us on Twitter, at OverUnder985. I'm on Twitter, at Joey Murr. He's on Twitter, at Dan Lifshatz. So let's get right into it here on OverUnder985. Who you got when it comes to the World Cup odds? Now, today was an entertaining day.
Yeah, it was.
It's Sunday, for those who are tuning in. Great game we just saw a little while ago. We saw Russia advance, Croatia advance today. Upsets, right? I mean, if you ask me, that's upsets. and then I go right to the odds. Who's remaining? Who's the favorite? Dan, I know Brazil's been the favorite off the bat. I tend to go against the favorites when it comes to big tournaments. Right now, Brazil a plus 350, but I always go against the favorites. So next in line for me is France. Today was an overall good day, but when you look at the World Cup odds, I guess who you got?
Honestly, at this point, I'm going. There's two teams that I really like at this point, and it's not Brazil, and it certainly isn't France. France doesn't have the offense that I think that we've seen. I know they had that big goal fest last game, but just in general, I haven't been impressed with the way they play. Brazil, I mean, look, they have the firepower to really do anything, and especially when Neymar is in there, but. To me, there's two teams that I really love, and I think they're going to be on different sides of the bracket, I believe. So at least we'll be able to kind of see where everything is. But I'm liking either Belgium or England, and they're not the two highest. I think they're like the fourth and fifth. So their odds are there. I mean, Belgium is like plus 585. I think England is matching around that at like 585 too. So, I mean, they're not like crazy high odds. I'm not taking like Japan to win at plus 18,500. But I like Belgium and England. Both those teams can score. Both those teams really played well in their group stages, except for the game versus each other, which both tried to lose until Belgium scored that goal for whatever ungodly reason. But, I mean, those are the teams if I'm taking right now, and I've watched all the games, and those are the teams that I'm personally rolling with myself.
So, for me, I actually love the World Cup. I love betting on it. In the early stages, that you could pick either a team or bet the draw or even bet the total for that matter. Now the teams go into extra time and then they go to penalty kicks. So my suggestion is if you are betting these teams and you want them to advance, bet that prop bet. Bet the team to advance. So, for instance, you might like the draw, but bet the team to advance to the next round. That means that if they do win in penalty kicks, you win your bet. So, you can hedge it out however way you want. You can win both bets by doing a draw, or if you lose in penalty kicks, you at least hedge that bet there. So for those who are just getting into World Cup soccer, now they're into the advanced stages where they play in extra time and go to kicks. That's something to keep in mind there. And Dan, I know there's different strategies for you. I love the first half, second half betting when it comes to World Cup. But today, most of the games, 1-1, 2-2 at one point, the goalies, it was exciting early on, especially those penalty kicks.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part about this World Cup, Joe, and it's been pretty interesting the whole World Cup. I mean, really, and it's kind of held into the group stages that, the underdogs have really, really capitalized. And I think that people, especially a lot of public bettors, are just kind of getting killed. And, they're betting, teams like Brazil versus Mexico in the first round where they lost and, betting, France versus, Australia. I mean, public bettors are getting killed in regards to the World Cup right now, which is why, I mean, I've been kind of just at this point just rolling with all the dogs. And, the over plays the last 2 days, like Argentina yesterday and Argentina France, the over under was set at 2. I think that, that pushed by halftime, and obviously 3 goals in the second half. That was easy. That was an easy over. The other game yesterday, which is, I can't remember off the top of my head. That game easily went over too. So, I mean, there's been a lot of overs, a lot of first half overs too. It's an interesting World Cup in regards to kind of where you want to go in terms of the odds. Right now, I mean, to me, again, today, both dogs cashed again. Denmark cashed. I mean, again, remember, when you're betting a line, most of the time you're just betting the first 90 minutes. You're not betting the extra time unless, as Joe says, you're betting to advance. So Denmark cashed as a dog, plus the half. Russia cashed as a dog because the plus one. So it's been really interesting. This whole World Cup is just kind of dog, 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 which is kind of why I think maybe Belgium, England, if they face like a Brazil in that final, that to me is kind of where you look.
That's the two games we'll see tomorrow: Belgium, Japan, Brazil, Mexico. I think Brazil advances, and they should be the favorite. But again, I like to go against that. And you mentioned the underdogs: no USA, no Italy. Germany gets knocked off. Argentina gets knocked off. Portugal out today. It's an all underdog fest besides, Brazil at this point. But
no Netherlands.
And exactly. So, that's what makes it entertaining for me. We'll continue to keep watching this. We wanted to just talk a little World Cup. I know some people love it. Some people love to bet on it. And we know that around the country, people bet on this stuff. They love it. They stop what they're doing all day. But one thing I wanted to get into, and it's not really my style, but I know the odds are great, but the Golden Boot winner.
Yep.
And Harry Kane of England plus 110. Now, Neymar plus 2,500. If Brazil did go to the finals, that's a good bet there. Or if they won it all, that's a good bet there. But there's some big numbers here. 4,500 for Hazard. I'm looking here. Luis Suarez plus 5,000. Yep. So there's some really good odds. I don't know if you bet the Golden Boot winner, but hey, man, these guys right now, Harry Kane's the favorite, but there's some good odds there.
Well, and Suarez is interesting, especially now because Cavani is hurt, and Edinson Cavani from Uruguay, and he's hurt, and we don't know how long he's going to be out. They were the other game yesterday. I forgot. They beat Portugal 2-1. Cavani scored that beautiful goal, the second goal, and that's kind of how they advanced. So now the real question is, well, you know, do you want to take a risk on someone like Suarez if Uruguay is going to continue to go? The real thing about the Golden Boot is the longer that you stay in, the more goals you have at least a chance at. So, I mean, you take a look at a team like, you know, maybe like Colombia. I know people are going to go or there, or, you know, say, obviously a lot of people would have picked Spain or something like that. You know, you have to be careful about what players you want to pick for the Golden Boot, because if the teams don't advance, I mean, you're pretty much sitting on what you have right now. So that's why tomorrow is going to be big for someone like Neymar, you know, someone who could, you know, score a bunch of goals, because if they don't beat Mexico tomorrow, then they're out. I mean, and right now Neymar's sitting at what, one goal? So, I mean, that's kind of where you have to look at the odds. And so when I look at the Golden Boot odds, I'm always kind of trying to think of, you know, a team that can make it at least a little while. So even if they don't make it to the final, at least to the semis, et cetera.
All right, so we're going to keep our eyes peeled on the World Cup. It's something we just wanted to start with today, because today was an exciting day. There's been a ton of upsets here, and there's money to be won.
Do you want to talk about the games tomorrow? Because, I mean, you guys might be listening a little late, but at least we could touch quickly on the game. We got Mexico, Brazil. Who you got, Joe? Mexico, Brazil, Japan, Belgium. So right now we got Brazil at a decent sized money line, 196, the minus one odds, which are interesting, minus 123. So usually, if the money line in soccer is at minus 196, the usual, the minus one odds will probably be around plus odds. So this is interesting to me. What it means is that I think you're going to see a lot of Brazil minus one bets tomorrow. I think there's a good chance that Brazil might just win by one. I'm still going to ride the dog trend. I'm still, and especially after Mexico played them so tough in that first round, in the qualifying rounds, I'm going to go with Mexico plus one, plus 108. Maybe talk about or think about taking the draw plus 341. The over-under is sitting at 2.5 tomorrow. I'm going to go under. So I like the under tomorrow. My favorite bet tomorrow is still Mexico plus one, but I do like the under. I think it kind of keeps in that trend of, you know, teams that good, powerful teams that see each other end up going under. We saw the England-Belgium game, and again, that was a game of different circumstances because both teams wanted to lose, so you weren't seeing a lot of offensive football there. But still, I kind of am going to stick with that trend, go with the under and Mexico. And in Japan and Belgium, Belgium is a minus 257. What you're going to see happen a lot tomorrow, Joe, and I'm telling you, this is exactly what's going to happen right now. You're going to see a ton of public bettors bet the Belgium-Brazil moneyline parlay. And that's going to pay out, you know, I think probably above, you know, even odds. And what's going to happen is one of those teams is going to draw. Because bookies, whenever they set these soccer lines, they did it the other day with France and a couple other games with Germany and Brazil the other day. Whenever you have those odds that you can get, you know, over even odds, one team always draws. So I'm either Brazil or Belgium will draw tomorrow. I'm going Mexico. Mexico plus one.
Yeah, the France Argentina game. That's exactly what happened. Both teams were plus, and then the draw hit. Actually, they won 3-2, but
right.
it was heading towards the draw at one point. I mentioned teams to advance, Brazil minus 500,
yeah.
Belgium minus 700. So those teams are probably going to advance. It's just you want to get them at one or the plus money.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to take something there, I mean, I honestly, if you really want something, I'm going Belgium over 2.5 or just Belgium first half. Like, if you really want to take Belgium tomorrow and you want to find a way to do it, I think Belgium first half, like -0.5, -108, or just Belgium first half money line, -105. I mean, they're the same. They're the same bet. So really take the 105 there. I mean, whatever is going to be the best. But if you want to take Belgium tomorrow, take them first half. I just you don't want to lay the -1.5 against Japan. Japan's been a good defensive team, in my opinion.
Just looking at the third, Swiss versus Sweden to advance. Switzerland's -140. On the other side of it, Colombia +150. England the favorite. That's just to advance.
Yeah.
Those aren't even the numbers.
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's. I mean, England is, I think, +113. If you're talking for, I mean, we might as well dig into Switzerland, Sweden. I kind of like the both teams to score there. I think that both those teams kind of play some attacking football, don't have incredibly good defense. So if you want to do that, both teams to score there is a good option. That's sitting at -120 right now for England and Colombia. I know there's going to be a ton of people in England, and I know pretty much said back the dog. I probably am going to still back England to win that game, and England maybe the under. Sweden or Switzerland, they're both big plus money. I mean, Switzerland sitting at +175. Sweden's at +216. The draw, +196. So that's a low odds for a draw. You know, once they kind of dip below that 200 line, usually that means, you know, the odds for a draw are pretty good. I'm probably going over. In Sweden, Switzerland, no play on the line. Just play the both teams to score. Probably be like a 1-1 or 2-1 game. I like that. And in England, Colombia, I'm going to take England, although I don't love it, but I do think that they're going to beat Colombia, maybe like a 1-0 game. Or if you want, just play the under, and then, you know, hopefully England advances an extra time.
All right. So that's pretty much your World Cup talk here. We'll continue this as the weeks continue here with the World Cup. You can send in your questions. For all you big soccer fans out there, at over under 985, and we'll answer them at the end of the show. We'll take it to the window. We'll cash it out at the window.
Yes, sir.
And take your questions there. So we'll start with World Cup. You know, I'm sure if you continue to listen every week, we're going to get to the good stuff. It's just right now, people I know are into the World Cup. It was a great day today, and of course, you can send in your questions over under 985 on Twitter. Coming up in a minute here, we'll get into the latest on the NHL and NBA odds, and we'll also get you those hot dog eating contests, the Nathan hot dog eating contest.
Oh yeah,
they set the over unders high on how many hot dogs. We know about Joey Chestnut. There's a couple other underdogs in there. We'll give that to you, and of course at the end of the show we will answer your questions. So again, send them in to over under 985.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at over under 985.
I wanted to get into the NHL odds and the NBA odds. Just starting with the NHL, the John Tavares news broke today that he'll be now playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, his home team. And boom, off the bat, it depends on where you look, okay? I don't know if it was five dimes that had it earlier today. I know I had it at Sportsbook. That's what I like to go for most of my lines, is Sportsbook. But today, I saw that Toronto was the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Mind you, they have not won a playoff series since 2003. Yet they're now the favorite, and it depends on what book you go to. They're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup and haven't won a playoff series since 2003. I am not taking that bet whatsoever. Give me somebody else on the board, anybody else on the board besides the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that doesn't have defense. And, I mean, straight up, no matter how good you are offensively, and we saw that last year with, you know, with Tampa. I mean, they were awesome offensively, still couldn't do anything. You know, I'm with you. I am not taking Toronto. There's a 0% chance that I'm rolling with the Leafs to win next year. And on five dimes, they're sitting at +1050, which is third best after Tampa Bay at +900, plus Nashville. At Tampa Bay at +900, Nashville +950. So I mean, I'm looking at someone further. I like, you know, the Penguins sitting at 1100. I think you'll probably see some regression with the Knights next year. My favorite by far is sitting on the board, Joe, by far for next year. If we're looking at the NHL odds, even with Tavares signing in Toronto, and I don't care about that, even with that, I'm liking Winnipeg plus 1,100. Ooh, wow. Winnipeg is my team. I like them. I think that Winnipeg plus 1,100, that team has defense. That team has goaltending. That team is, you know, incredible offense. They're young, but they're poised, and they're going to be good for a long time. Give me Winnipeg plus 1,100. And for a long shot wild card, just a long shot, throwing it out there, you know, just, you know, they probably shouldn't be, you know, this far. There's two teams I like. You go real small on these, by the way, real small. You know, the St. Louis Blues plus 3,800 is a nice one. Florida Panthers plus 4,500. So, you know, I'm looking for some NHL futures, or at least just on the Stanley Cup. And we'll get into the divisions and everything, you know, kind of when the NHL season starts to roll around. We'll start talking about that. Maybe we'll go division by division. But straight up right now, Stanley Cup odds, Winnipeg plus 1,100, and then small, St. Louis plus 38. Florida plus 45. What do you got, Joe?
I mean, I like the square plays early on. Like, you know, I like Tampa Bay, Nashville, teams like that. The Vegas Golden Knights, for those who want to ride that, plus 1,050. Boston Bruins, who have yet to make that big move yet, plus 1,250 when it comes to the odds there. So, you know, for me, it's not like the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Chicago Blackhawks and the teams that have been in there or won it every year. I think it's going to be somebody a little bit different. I'm just leaning Tampa Bay on that. They're probably the square play at plus 900 at the moment. I'm looking at a different book here at Five Dimes. They have Toronto at plus 1,050. So some places have Toronto as the favorite. I like Tampa Bay in that scenario. But I just could not believe when the odds came out today. When the odds came out today, it was Toronto is going to be the favorite. And to me, like, they just, again, win a playoff series and then let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that reaction, you know, it's that reaction to...
Yeah, it's like Giancarlo Stanton signing with the Yankees. Yeah, right. He's going to be the favorite.
It's the what have you done for me lately, and when LeBron signs with the Lakers, which he inevitably will, you know, then guess what? I mean, would you be at all shocked to see the Lakers odds go to, like, you know, second or third on the board? I wouldn't be. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen when LeBron ends up in L.A., and they, you know, people will know that LeBron will somehow get someone there, whether it's Kawhi or, you know, some other, you know, real good player that we haven't talked about yet. Maybe that's on the trade market. You know, there will be odds to, you know, see LA get there. And so, honestly, that's my personal opinion. Is it's reaction. Toronto's a good team. They're still real young. They're not very good defensively. Their goaltending is suspect at times. You know, I'd love Babcock as a coach, but I mean, at some point, I'm out on the Leafs, Joe. I am out on
the
Leafs. So I'm hard passing on them. Give me Winnipeg as my square play for next year.
There you go. You heard it here from Dan Lifshatz, one of the bankroll boys. He's early lean on the Winnipeg Jets. We mentioned the NHL odds that just came out. I do want to give you just at least some NBA odds. And, you know, the Warriors are the favorite, obviously.
Yep.
And really, until some team beats the Warriors. Like right now, you know, looking at it as of the Golden State Warriors to win the championship next year, plus 140.
Yeah.
Which, go ahead. Do you want to jump on that? You don't think anyone's going to beat them? Put $1,000 on it, you win $1,400, and you get on it early, and eventually those numbers will change. But then there's the field category.
Yep.
Minus 160. I don't love those odds. No, listen. It's either Golden State or somebody, right? Or Boston,
right.
Whoever else is in line there. The more I look at it is, you get better odds going with Golden State to win again than going for somebody in the field. And I'll tell you right now, I don't want to put up juice minus 160. I don't want to put up a VIG and pay extra when I think the Golden State Warriors are probably the favorites anyways.
Right. And then the other thing is that, you know, You definitely don't want to play the field there. Okay, the field at plus 160 is minus 160 is terrible. What you really want to look at is, well, you want to say, well, I got Golden State plus 140. Okay, the Celtics will probably be what, plus 500, plus 600, around that range whenever the odds re-release. And by the way, pretty much the NBA odds are completely off the board right now, just because LeBron hasn't signed anywhere, and we don't know where Kawhi is going, and et cetera, et cetera. So until LeBron signs somewhere, I think the odds are probably going to remain off the board. And once he signs, then you'll see the odds start popping back up. But until that point, you won't see anything. So what I think is going to end up happening is you'll end up seeing, you know, Golden State plus 140. I think you'll probably see LA probably plus like 400, 500, because once he signs there, I think that the odds are really going to end up like real spike in there. So I think that that's probably what will happen. And then, you know, you'll probably have the Celtics at plus 600. You know, there's going to be a long shot. I think Milwaukee's a pretty good, a better team than they showed last year. I think maybe you can, you know, if you want to throw something in there on them. But just, there's so many teams in the NBA who just suck and just aren't good that that field option is real heavily juiced because of the fact that, well, you know, because you know there's only four or five other legit teams. Honestly, you're better off playing those four or five other legit teams if you really want to play the field. Play them for like $100 each. You get way better odds. And then, you know, Golden State's, you know, and then you're just playing against Golden State. So that's the way I would look at it. And if I was going to bet it, I would just play, you know, if you really wanted to do that, instead of playing the minus 160, you could just play the other, you know, the other teams at like plus 400, plus 500, whatever it is. And therefore, you're just, you have them at plus 400, plus 500, and you don't need to take the field at minus 160. Much easier way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm sure the favorites this year, I at one point I saw the Lakers were already the second favorite, but yep, that's off the board at the moment. One other line that I saw on there was, will LeBron win the 2019 NBA championship? This is according to Five Dimes. Yes, plus 255. No, minus 365. And just, I would just go no on that, but that's really high.
Yeah.
Minus 365.
No, I mean, that's something, that's like a nice parlay. If you want to play like a long-term parlay, and some sites like Five Dimes, like the one thing that's really nice about Five Dimes, they let you have open parlays. Meaning you can just fill them as you go. You don't have to do like immediate games right now or, you know, there are tomorrow. You can just kind of fill it as you go. You know, that's probably something I would put in there if I was like, oh, well, LeBron's going to L.A. He doesn't have anyone else. Oh, I'm taking LeBron, won't win at, you know, minus 365 as a long-term parlay piece.
Last time I saw the odds to win the championship next year, it was Golden State, Lakers, Boston at plus 500, then Houston at 650. Philadelphia, Cleveland, San Antonio, so on and so on and so on.
Right.
The one team that kind of interested me was the Oklahoma City Thunder, who did get Paul George coming back. Some odds shifted with him signing. They're, you know, 60-1 odds. Without him, they're 120-1 odds. He made a big impact re-signing, which was a big surprise because all along people thought he was going to L.A. So at this point, I guess the big question is, who's going to L.A.? It's probably LeBron James, but who else? And I'm sure at some point there might be some odds on who's going to pair up to play with LeBron. My favorite would be Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that LeBron probably is pressing at this point to get someone. Since he's definitely going to LA, he's probably pressing, you know, to get Kawhi. I don't think that the George thing, I don't know if he ever really wanted Paul George to be there, which is interesting enough as it is. But the fact that George didn't sign there, you know that LeBron's going to be attracting someone. So whatever it's Kawhi, whether it's, you know, another name that's out there, you know, that we haven't talked about that's not on the board. I mean, I know that there's some people out there floating around, you know, a Damian Lillard out there. So that would be an interesting name.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Although I don't think Cousins will end up in LA, but just, you know, those type of names. I think you'll end up seeing at least, you know, LeBron, at least one more guy, if not two. And then, you know, you still have the young players on, you know, LA and whoever's going to stay there. So I think that you'll see, the first year of LeBron in L.A. probably won't be as successful as people want, but maybe next year, if you're like, oh, well, that maybe next year is kind of the year where you say, oh, well, LeBron, you know, LeBron, whoever else he's with, those are the guys that, you know, that's when LeBron and those guys can really make their finals run.
I'll tell you right now, the team to get on is the Boston Celtics. If they can have an easy road to the finals, the Celtics at plus 600 or whatever you get them at, I would ride that one out. I just think that if LeBron's out of the division, they have an easy chance to the finals, and I think those teams are going to beat each other up in the West. So if you like juice and you like odds and you like juicy odds, you can't go wrong with the Celtics. It might be a homer play, all right? People think, oh, here in Boston, homer play? No. Like, give me a team besides Philadelphia. Who's a team that will compete with that Boston team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, I think there's three teams in the East. I think it's Boston, I think it's Milwaukee, and I think it's Philly. And I think, again, we don't give enough credit to what Milwaukee can do. If they can get another player out there with Giannis, I mean, they'll probably be a hell of a squad. I still don't think they're too serious about winning anything yet. Maybe in a couple of years. Again, same with Philly. Like, I can't take them seriously until you can show me that you can beat the Celtics with their two best players. I can't take you seriously. So, I mean, if you can get the Celtics at plus 500, plus 600, I mean, really, who else in the East is there? I mean, Joe, are you going to go out there and are you going to, you know, Are you going to bet on Indiana? Because I'm not laying money on Indiana. You know, I'm not laying money on Miami. Who else is there? I mean, Toronto? You really want to lay money on Toronto after how they perform this year? I mean, I can't do that. So I'm going with the Celtics this year. I don't think they'll win. I think they'll make it to the finals. I don't think they'll win. But at least, you know, you'll have plus odds on the Celtics. And then if you really want plus odds on the Warriors, I mean, I would just wait. All that needs to happen is the Warriors just need to have a lull earlier in the year or later in the year, I mean. And, you know, those odds will drop. Maybe you see, like, the Lakers or someone else odds kind of shoot up. And then, boom, you know, you can have the Warriors maybe plus 200 or something like that. So that's kind of where I would roll. But maybe just, you know, Celtics. And if you want a real long shot, maybe, you know, the Washington Wizards, if they can get, like, DeMarcus Cousins or someone. Like, maybe something like that could happen.
All right, we'll continue over under 985. We've gone over the World Cup, got you your NHL odds and your NBA odds. Coming up this week, a special when it comes to the 4th of July, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. We'll give you the odds and over under on how many hot dogs eaten on July 4th. That coming up in a minute here on Over Under 985. Again, you can send in your questions on Twitter at Over Under 985. I'm Joe Murray. I'm at Joey Murr. Also, he's at Dan Lifshatz. Every week, we're going to be bringing you material. So, you know, if there's questions you want us to answer, whether it's NFL, NBA, you name it, even if it's not, if you want to have some fun with it, you know, there's presidential stuff, which we could do. There's who's going to, you know, the box office stuff. Who's going to play the next James Bond? All that fun stuff on the table right here on Over Under 985. Dan, I want to get into the hot dog eating contest. This is always fun for me. 4th of July. We need some action, right?
Yep.
You're outside grilling. You're at the beach. I need some action. I know the World Cup games will be going on, but hey, it's the hot dog eating contest, and we know Joey Chestnut. All right, that's the reigning champ, the big favorite going into it. And I can give you the I've seen so many different odds when it comes to this. And I've seen recently Joey Chestnut versus the field.
Yep.
Okay, Joey Chestnut -750, the field +450. I would dabble on the field in this situation because the odds are good.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to go on like the one on ones. There's the Joey Chestnut. There's the Carmen Sincotti, who I don't know much about. That could be like a wild card.
Apparently, he's the second big name. So he's the up and coming competitive eating riser, as you will. And so, I guess the spread right now is Joey Chestnut -8.5 hot dogs, meaning Joey Chestnut favored by 8.5 hot dogs sitting at +160. Joe, who you got?
I like Joey Chestnut. I mean, you got to – I know it's the square play. But Joey Chestnut, how can I go against him at this point? Now, Matt Stoney, all right? Matt Stoney at those plus odds, I think it was plus 700 or somewhere.
Plus 1,300.
Plus 1,300 now. It's literally gone down that much. I don't know. What are they going to have a stomach bug that we don't know about or something here? I would drop the – this is the scenario for me where – I'm dabbling on all the plus money, the dogs.
Yeah.
One thing I'll tell you is when I bet boxing fights or UFC, I take all the underdogs. Even if I don't know who they are, I just bet the underdogs. And in the end, I always come away with it. It's probable that Joey Chestnut wins this contest. But it's we want to win money, right?
Yep.
Put $25, put $50 on Matt Stoney or Carmen Sincotti or the field. Either way, listen, if you lose, at least you went trying to get some plus money. You can always go for the over-under. That's another thing about it. I don't know where it's set at now, Dan. I saw 68.5 in some places.
All right, so here's what we got. We got the men's winner hot dogs over under 68.5, -390. The over's juiced at -390. The over under 70.5 is -170. Ooh. So, I mean, really, we're looking really around like 71. That's kind of where it's set. Over under 72.5 is at +145. So the over +145 for 72.5, -170 for over 70.5, -390 for over 60.5. By the way, this is action only Joe, if Joey Chestnut and Sincotti compete. So Carmen Sincotti and Joey Chestnut have to compete for this prop to be valid. Well, what I will say is that, what happened last year? Do you have the
Kobayashi had 69 hot dogs, And I believe that stood until 2016, where Joey Chestnut ate 70.
Wow.
So, I don't know. It's 68 and a half, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess Chestnut ate 72 last year.
Wow.
He ate 72. So, I mean, and you know, that the last year, who knows? I mean,
is the over the sucker bet? Because you might hear that a lot from some people.
Yeah, I mean, the over, see, it's so much because life's too short to bet the under, as as we all know, Big Cat from Barstool Sports likes to say. So, I mean, the one thing is that, I can't take the over. I'm probably rolling with the under 70 and a half this year. That's probably if I'm dabbling for dollars right here and I want to make a sharp play, I'm going under 70 and a half.
What's the juice on that?
The under 70 and a half is plus 130.
Wow.
Plus 130. So he had 70 last year, 72 last year. He probably doesn't have the competition that he does this year. Give me the under 70 and a half hot dogs.
And again, I know I mentioned this earlier. It's not always about being right or wrong. Like, if you lose your bet, you took a shot to make some plus money.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And, you know, you got to put more up if you wanted to bet Joey Chestnut or whatever. Kind of rooting for the under here is the smart play.
Yeah.
You want to win that extra juice. To me, the under might be the smart play. And who knows? I mean, looking at these other odds here, do we think Matt Stoney's going to get up to 70?
No.
Do we think Carmen Sicani's going to get there? No. So maybe he gets to 65, realizes he's winning in a landslide, and that's it.
Well, that's the thing, is that if Chestnut's winning in a landslide this year, then, you know, I think that's kind of, I mean, Sicani last year had 62.
Ooh.
Sicani finished at 62 last year, so the spread was 10 last year. All right, so, I mean, Sincotti's probably what? You would say Sincotti gets to like 64, 65. If you're sitting at 69, there's a minute left, you're like, you know, a couple seconds left, you know you're good. I mean, you know that he's not making up four or five dogs on you in that second. And handicapping this is a complete utter farce. But I mean, pretty much, I mean, you know, if I'm rolling it, at least I'm taking the odds. So, you know, I'm taking the plus 130, or I'm taking Joey Chestnut minus 8.5 hot dogs at plus 160. That's what I'm rolling with. One or the other. Again, small plays, please. This is just degenerate.
Just to kind of fade your pick quickly, at a qualifier recently, Joey Chestnut ate 73.5 hot dogs.
There we go. Love it.
Just to qualify.
So he's just screwing me. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm still rolling under.
And a fun fact, his recipe for success. Besides training year-round in various eating contests, he fasts for 2 to 3 days before the Coney Island showdown.
Oh, boy.
So, 72 hot dogs is the record back 2017. He did 70 in 16. Stoney did 62 back in 15.
He did 62 last year, too. Stoney did
2015. He might have did it last year, but lost.
Oh, he did 48 last year.
Oh, wow. He's a little behind that.
Yeah. So, but Sincotti did 62 last year.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's good. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. I mean, you know me. I'm a big dude. I like my hot dogs. I'm obviously watching the hot dog eating contest without a question. That's going off, by the way, Wednesday, 12:40. That goes off.
Now, there is a woman's one. I don't mess with that. I know there's the Black Widow, Sonya Thomas. All right, she's the big name.
No, I guess it's Miki Sudo, minus 565.
Yeah, she 41 last year.
Oh, wow.
41 hot dogs.
All right, so this year, at least on the women's side, over under 41 and a half. The over is juiced at minus 125. The under is sitting at minus 115.
Under.
You're going under?
Going under.
Going under. All right. I can't do that. Even that's too degen for me. Like the women's competitive hot dog eating contest. Give me Chestnut minus 8.5 and give me the under 70. And that's what I'm rolling with.
All right. All right. We got it. July 4th, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
12:40. That's 12:40 for you.
We'll post all these two to at over under 985. Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. The big odds are out on that one. You might want to feast for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not eat until after the after the hot dog eating contest.
Might feel a little gross.
We got questions coming up in just a little bit here. One thing I wanted to throw out, I know I mentioned I watch a lot of UFC fights. And, again, I bet all the underdogs. That's just one thing I like to do is take all the dogs, and in the end, you win money. You do. There is a big match this week, or a big fight, excuse me. Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier. This is going to be a great fight. Cormier is done great. Cormier is called out. You know, John Bones Jones, Brock Lesnar. Stipe Miocic is a different beast. He just fought Ngannou and basically kept him, you know, kept him in the corner the whole time. It was a boring fight, but the guy knows how to win.
Yeah.
He's minus 260. For me, I just see the odds in this one as over 3.5. I think Miocic is just going to hold him in a corner, try not to let Cormier either submit him or hit him out with a big blow. I think it's going to be a good fight. Over 3.5 is the way to go. Let it go to the judges. And if you like any value in this, it's Cormier at plus 210. So for those who love UFC, I think Stipe wins the fight. It goes to the judges, and it goes over the 3.5. But people love upsets. They love rooting for the underdog. Cormier at plus 110. If you dabble on that in the over, I think you'll win money in the end. So that's your UFC update as well here. We will go to we're going to call it the window. You send in the questions. We'll give you the answers, and you can cash it out the window. We got your questions coming up next right here on Over Under 985.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over Under 98.5.
All right, to the window we go. You ask the questions, we give you the answers, and you cash in at the window. We got about 5 or 6 questions here, Dan. Let's lead off with the best websites to research games, track line movement, sharp money, etc. Who are some of your favorites?
Yeah, I mean, some of my favorites, I like Sports Insights a lot. They're probably my favorite. They're a pay subscription, so I mean, it's one of those things where you probably should only pay for it if you're really dedicated to betting. But honestly, they're fantastic. They get bet percentages, money percentages for spreads and money lines, overs and unders. They give you a sharp movement every day. They're part of the Action Network now, and they're just, the whole network is really full of guys who are for the most part pretty knowledgeable. And honestly, it's a great website to use, a great tool to use. And some of those guys, if you talk to them and, you know, kind of make relationships with them, are real good dudes. So that would be my personal suggestion if you're going to do that. They also offer free odds. So they offer, you know, free bet percentages without the money percentages, for spreads and money lines on NBA, NHL, NFL, college football, you know, MLS, World Cup. They offer a whole bunch of things. So they don't just do one thing. They do a whole bunch of things. So if I was going to choose one, that would probably be my favorite website or my favorite place. And they do a sharp report as well. And so that's really great.
Yeah, for me, it's covers.com. I've been on that site literally for 10, 15 years. They give you everything you need to know. There's also a forum in there. Now, be careful, okay? There's some people in there just posting stuff. And we all know they're trying to get money on both sides of these bets. So you might see credible people who have good percentages or who, you know, place their picks every week. Sometimes they put that out there to get money on the other side. But I love covers.com, and there's a site called Picks and Parlays I like. They actually give you predictions for games. I either fade or follow. That's what I like to do. I like to see what other people are picking, and I fade or follow. That's just one for me. But I do like Sports Insights. The one thing I like about them is that they actually show where the money's going.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, some of these people might say, oh, you know, the favorite is pretty heavy here. At least you know how much money's on either side with Sports Insights.
And they divvy it up by book, too, which is really awesome, cool feature to have. And probably one, I think they're the only website that does that, which is important. I mean, again, it's a pay service, but it's great.
Yeah, and if you go on Twitter, there's tons of people to follow. RJ Bell. You know, say what you want about the guy, but he, you know, he's always got good odds. Odd Sharks is another one. I just like them personally because they're just easy to use. But on Twitter, there's tons of people out there. But again, be careful. You know, these people, some of the people are only putting this info out there, so they try to lean you to the other way. Question number two that came in this week. When it comes to soccer lines, what do they mean? And, you know, I got one this week. I couldn't explain it. 0.25, 0.75. I'm normally just the money line guy, the over-under. What do these lines mean, Dan?
All right, so the 0.25 and the 0.75 are what we call Asian odds. Basically what it means is that it's basically splitting the baby. So, for instance, let's say the over-under in a game is 2.75, right? So meaning you need over or under 2.75 goals. Well, basically what it does, this basically allows you to decrease odds and give bookmakers an option to still be able to take a bet that maybe you wouldn't normally make. So if it's over under 2.75 odds and there are three goals in the game, then you win half your money. If there are two goals in the game, you lose, you know, you lose half your money. So it's basically like, or so you don't lose half your money. You just lose the bet. So it basically lowers the odds to give you an opportunity to take, to get a better side. So for instance, over 2.75 means if there's three goals, you win half your bet. If there's four goals, you win the full bet. So instead of paying the over three,
okay,
it still gives you an ability to basically win half your bet. So if you're playing the over 2.25 and there are two goals, then you lose half your bet. If there are three goals, you win the bet. So basically it gives you the ability to, you know, to basically divvy up your bet. So it's not something that's used commonly by U.S. bettors unless you're very well versed in soccer. So that would be something that, like, I would like to bet because I like betting soccer a lot. So I would bet that. So in a spread, say, you know, France is minus 1.75, right? That means if they won by two goals, you would win half the bet. So if you put down $100 to win $100, you would bet $100, you would win $50. If they win by three goals, you would get the full 100. So it's basically just a way to drive the odds down to allow you to bet something that you probably wouldn't normally bet, or give you reduced number to win a bet at higher juice. So it kind of goes both ways. A lot of soccer bettors love using Asian odds.
Yeah, to me, to dumb it down is you're hedging the bet, but they're giving you the odd. So for example, instead of playing, you know, minus one at 125, well, you can put them at 0.75 with better odds.
Right. And you could still win half your bet. So at least you're winning half your bet instead of just pushing the bet, which frustrates a lot of soccer bettors.
Got it. Continuing on here with another question. This one's funny to me because when I want to watch a football game, okay, let's say I have no action on the game.
Yep.
I want to see an interesting game. I want to see an exciting high scoring game. Why is the over the sucker bet?
Well, at least from my opinion, we have differing opinions on this. From my opinion, the over is generally considered the sucker bet because the public, again, or the betting public, the most amount of people, the usual bettors, would rather bet on an over than an under. I don't know why that is. It has always been the case. It's just people root for more goals and more points and everything than for under. So people are scared to usually bet the under, which means that under market is very underutilized, and meaning it can be very valuable because people are almost always betting the over, whether it's MLB totals or the score in a football game or whatever it is, or score in a soccer game, for instance. People are betting the over in those games. And so there's a large market of underutilization in the under market. And so basically that to me is why the over is the sucker's bet, because you don't see a lot of people who are betting the under. You're just seeing everyone for the most part betting the over, and including the betting public or the general public who kind of bets on these games usually bets the over instead of the under.
My whole thing, I don't really have an answer for why it's the sucker bet, but I'll tell you this much. In general, you'll win more bets betting the over than the under. And the reason for that is overtime, right? Overtime. I won't forget the Milwaukee Bucks Celtics game one this year at the Garden. I had the over. I had the under in the game. It should have never went over. But you give them 2.2 seconds left to hit a three, and they do. It goes into overtime. You lose your bet. So that's why to me, the safe bet is the over. Forget about the sucker bet. The safe bet's the over. You know about fouls late in games. We know about garbage touchdowns or backdoor touchdowns that happen in the NFL. Or what about just meaningless runs in baseball? Bad bullpens, you name it. To me, the safest bet is the over. It's not so much the sucker bet.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of where we disagree. See, I prefer going unders and kind of betting the market that's less distributed. By the way, I had the over that game.
Of course. You're on one side, I'm on the other. Yeah. Listen, they should have fouled. They should have fouled.
You're not wrong.
It should have never happened.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. But
way,
I mean,
I'm one of those guys that can remember any loss and know. And like, if I see another line come up, I remember that loss and I tread lightly. Some people, again, they just love. Some numbers look too low. Well, how many times in the NBA playoffs this year was the line like 234. It went under a lot in those games.
Especially in like the Golden State New Orleans games, like just all the time. So, or the Golden State Houston games, the lines were so high this year. It just kept going under and under.
In those games, the over was the sucker bet.
Yep.
Continuing on with questions here. Will online poker be back when gambling is legalization?
So this is something that I don't have, I guess, a real in-depth breadth of knowledge. What I will say is the more casinos that there are, the more poker will be back, whether that means online poker or just poker in general. I do think that when gambling gets legalized, I think you'll see a large uptick in online poker again because it will be legal. The problem is that people are so scared off from the first time by everything that happened with everything basically just taking all these sites just taking your money and basically saying, sorry, sucks for you. I think it's going to be real hard to get a crowd to kind of go back into that instead of just playing in casinos. But I think you will see a big increase. I just don't know how much of an increase. Joe, you might be able to speak better to this.
I mean, we'll probably see an increase. I know at a lot of places you can do it now. But yeah, I think once it is legalized, you'll be able to do it more.
Yeah, I mean,
to give you an answer, there's many ways to find a way to do it now. It's just when it's legalized, sure. I'm sure you can go sit at your local 7-Eleven or your Cumbies and play online poker.
Right.
Yes. So to answer the question, yes, I think it will happen.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, again, I think it makes sense. The more legalization, the more people will bet on this stuff. So I mean, that's correct.
And this leads into another question. Can I bet online right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you can bet online at so many different websites, whether it's Bovada, Five Dimes, Bookmaker, you know, whether you have a local, you know, mysportsbookie.ag, whatever you have, bet online. There's a million different websites and you can bet online anytime. You can bet from your phone using those. You know, some of those sites have apps, some of them have, you know, just whatever. If you're in the casinos now, the casinos have apps, so you can just bet online from your phone app. I mean, you can bet on pretty much everything. So yes, you can absolutely bet online. You can bet online using your phone. You know, you can bet you're using your phone anytime. You know, for instance, you know, I use more of those offshore books. Joe uses a local most of the time. So, you know, Joe will, you know, be, and Joe bets, you bet online, right, with your phone?
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. So you can bet online, you can bet with your phone, you can kind of do whatever. That stuff is all accessible right now. So that's not an issue. Well, the question is, will it be even more accessible? Probably.
It probably will be more accessible. Especially when this thing gets legalized. It certainly will. And just finally, some people had some questions about NBA odds.
Yeah, so this is kind of a question on, you know, destination NBA odds, kind of stuff like that. So what I will say is at this point, now that it's July 1st, that stuff probably won't be back up. I mean, maybe you'll see, you know, if a big name, I know we saw Devin Booker today talk about, you know, release some information that he's unhappy. So maybe you'll see some odds like that, like will Devin Booker get traded? But for the most part, once July 1st rolls around, you know, you won't really be able to do that. I will say, Joe, that I have some information that Kemba Walker is probably going to get traded this offseason. Mm. Don't know where. Don't have an idea of exactly where he's going. But he's probably going to get traded this offseason. And because of that, you know, there was an option on Bet Online. And, of course, it comes down within the day that, you know, we're trying to do the podcast. But, yes, I mean, you would have been able to do that. You would have been able to bet on it. There was, you know, an option, you know, will Kemba Walker stay with the Charlotte Hornets or will he be traded? And the field option was at plus 265. So what did I do? I laid the plus 265 because I believe he's going to be traded. So, I mean, yes, there are ways to bet all of this. And again, during the offseason, you could bet LeBron to wherever, Kawhi to wherever. I saw DeAndre Jordan odds. I saw everything. So, I mean, you can really bet on anything when it comes to the NBA. It's just you have to look for it. You have to find those websites that offer that. Bet Online has some good props. Bookmaker has some good props. BetDSI has props, but they're like $25 a pop. So if you want to bet small, BetDSI is great for you. So, I mean, there are places, you know, where you can do that. I don't know, Joe, are you a big NBA offseason movement guy?
So here, my whole thing is this, and that this is where probably me and Dan differ a little bit. I'm meat and potatoes when it comes to bets. Like, I bet the field. I bet the favorite. I bet, you know, who's going to win the championship. Dan has a whole book of, you know, will this guy move this offseason? You know, how many three-pointers will this guy hit during the – to me, that's just – it's too many bets. Like, for me, I got to keep it simple. I need to be able to follow what I'm betting week in and week out. Dan has this plethora of, you know, will this guy move? Yes, minus 110. No, plus 130. To me, it's just too many bets at once. I can't keep up with it. So for me, like if it's during football season, I'm taking three teams on a Sunday. I might parlay two of the three teams. I might even tease them. But I'm a 1 o'clock guy, and then I take my winnings or losings into 4 o'clock, and then I go into the nighttime. And I might be chasing at night, but at least I'm aware of my bets. When there's all these future odds, there's too much going on. There's too much hedging. I might lose bets because I'm trying to be too smart and too cute and try to hedge. Overall, my suggestion is keep it simple, and especially if you're starting early, one bet at a time. If you take the Patriots in a parlay with three other teams and the Patriots lose, all those other bets lose. So my suggestion is early on, and you're trying to build a bankroll, one bet, two bets at a time.
Don't do massive parlays. Don't hit those 16 parlays when you're trying to build a bankroll. And the thing is, Joe, we're going to do an introductory podcast so that you guys can all learn about the introduction of terms, how you can get started, where you can get started, you know, what to do, what not to do when you're starting, what to do, what not to do when you're kind of intermediate and you're getting used to stuff. Just we're going to do a podcast so that this will be able to help you guys out in kind of regards to what you're doing. But remember, you know, just don't bet these big 15, 20 team parlays all the time. You're not going to win most of them.
Just remember, Vegas was built off of parlays and teasers. It's good to do them. You know, if you really like two teams on a Sunday, do it. If it's the TNT basketball game during the week, I like to do the 8 o'clock game and then the late game. Wrap them up, pick a winner. But again, early on, those future bets. You know, hey, listen, 1 year I bet on the president, okay? I bet on who was going to be the president. I did that months in advance.
Did
and
you
I
win?
Won.
There you
I
go.
Won.
There you go.
But that was the only bet I ever, I got a little nervous at the end, though. But again, that's one of the only future bets I've done. I bet the Patriots to win the Super Bowl in advance. I've done things like that. But as far as futures go, you just mentioned the Kemba Walker thing. Yeah, I'd be on it, but at the same time, I got so many other bets going on. How do I focus on that?
Yeah, see that, and again, I guess that's kind of where we differ. Because, like, see, that's how I kind of built my bankroll. You know, that bread and butter. For instance, last summer, you know, we had the Hayward stuff. We had the summer before, we had the Durant stuff. I mean, I killed the Durant to the Golden State Warriors, and they were huge odds last year. Hayward was +325 to the Celtics. He opened as a favorite to Utah, and the second team was Miami. So, like, you know, those are kind of where you can get some good odds, you know, if you do it early on enough. So that's the kind of stuff that I like. Joe likes doing different stuff. And that's kind of why this podcast is going to be great, because we're going to be able to give you different perspectives and different things. And you can, you know, follow him, follow me, fade him, fade me. It really doesn't matter, you know, but you know, basically we've been successful at this. We both have, you know, done pretty well, I'd say, in the gambling community, business, whatever you want to say. And, you know, we're at the point right now where I think that we're both successful enough to not really care what you want to do. If you want to fade us, go for it.
Fade or follow. That's one of the ways to go here. Please continue to send in your questions week in and week out. We hope you enjoyed at least week one. We started off with the World Cup. I know a lot of people are into it. Trust me, once we start getting into football season, this is going to be the place that you want to be. NBA season, this is going to be the place you want to listen to week in and week out. We're kind of setting our own agenda at this point, as it's our inaugural show right here on 98.5thesportshub.com. And it's July 4th week. Remember, this is, I know it's off season, hot stove.
Yep.
But as things continue to heat up here, we're going to be taking you right through football season, right at the end of baseball season. Baseball playoffs are one of the best sports to bet on. March Madness is insane. We're going to be with you all year long right here on 98.5thesportshub.com. So for Dan Lifshitz.
Yes, sir.
I'm Joe Murray. Please follow us on Twitter at @OverUnder985. Our thanks for Mason Souza for helping us out today as well.
Thank you, Mason. We appreciate it.
Again, send in your stuff, @OverUnder985. We'll be back with you with a new podcast. I'm Joe Murray saying goodbye. We'll talk with you next week.